thanks a lot for inviting us to your humble studio, the HQ, as you call it. It's very nice.
Studios are usually really shite places to hang out in. I mean, you know, they're designed by scientists who, you know, haven't a clue what musicians need. In fact, we've never bothered recording in proper recording studios. We've always just taken a house that we like the sound of and brought the studio to us. This is really a rehearsal room here. Something about the water, the docks.
Got your boat?
We've got a little boat. If things are getting a little heated, you can cool down in the water. You can take a little over to the pub. And, yeah, it's a good place, you know, because there's not too many people around.
Now, how going into this album, what was the expectations and feelings in the band doing the difficult 11th album?
You have to, you know, you've got to ask yourself some hard questions. You know, like, why? Why does the world really need to hear a U2 album? And why do we need to put ourselves through making one? And, you know, we've been doing this for a while, but I think to answer that question, I had to go back to, like, why do we get into a band in the first place? So we started listening to a lot of the music that made us want to be in a band, you know, going back to The Clash and Buzzcocks and, you know, Susie and the Banshees, Joy Division, all of these groups. And I think there is a little bit about this album that does feel like our first album.
We wanted to make a rock and roll album, I think it would be fair to say, coming out of...
What is rock and roll, The Edge?
Rock and roll is...
What is it?
It's the sound of revenge. It's the sound of...
Excellent.
..putting all the things that piss you off in your life into...
3 minutes.
..a guitar, through an amplifier... and making somehow all of that come out as this glorious celebration of what it is to be a human being in the 21st century.
Very good.
Yes, it's very good.
Very good. Excellent.
Yeah. And do you feel that you managed to do that?
No. If it's going to be an album about what it is to be a rock and roll band, then it's really, in some ways, it's got to measure up in terms of vitality. It's got to measure up in terms of commitment and passion to those albums that we were so into when we got into music in the first place. Vertigo, I suppose, is the best example of that. And it just encapsulates a certain kind of no bullshit, like just get down to it attitude, which I think is what punk rock is all about. And it's also a great tune, which was the real surprise in a way, because it's so hard to write great tunes in that form. But... very happy with how it turned out.
What would you say? Have you got any favourite? What would you say, Adam, favourite YouTube video?
I'd say, I think Vertigo probably is about the favourite at this stage. Yeah. It was in Spain on a deserted beach, which there was kind of a bit of a sandstorm blowing, but it was actually great fun. And Alex and Martin were just, you know, really good directors to work with. They kind of really understood what getting a performance out of us was about. They had us up there for hours, but it was fun.
I mean, making videos, it's not the most fascinating thing in the world to do, because there's a lot of hanging around, there's a lot of waiting, and you know, you're performing your song, giving it all you've got, but you're miming, so it's something even a little bogus about that. But when it's a song like Vertigo, and you got great directors and whatever, actually it was one of the most fun videos we've ever filmed, I think.
What do you look for in a treatment when a director comes to you?
You think, mate, we were just talking about this last night, you know, hard and all as it is to make a great record, making a great video is sometimes even tougher.
We have made some shite videos, it's fair to say.
which one are you thinking about particularly? Have you got any?
What's your least favourite video?
Least favourite YouTube video?
I don't really like any of them. I like...
that's a little harsh. That's a little harsh. We've made a few films.
I like Stay. Wim Wenders directed Stay, Far Away, So Close. New Year's Day, I suppose, is okay. It was Sweden. Our earliest videos. We just had one instinct, which was just shoot us outdoors. You know, because we always felt like our music hasn't got a roof over its head. So, you know, let's shoot outdoors.
Is it true there was girls on the horses and not you?
No, it was.
That is a damn lie. Okay, maybe there were girls.
It said it on the internet, so I just assumed.
Girls can't do things boys can't. What makes a great video is sometimes It's a vicarious thrill, you know, like stopping the traffic in Los Angeles, great, one of the streets of the name, or on Beautiful Day, we got to play with an airport, you know, in Paris. And also, Jonas is just...
Yeah, he's great.
Great to hang with. And so he makes it very painless. I think they're the kind of videos I'd like. I like performance videos. Dublin, as well, is a particularly aggressive town. You know, when you're walking down the street, people will scream at you across the street. Obscenities. You know what I mean? Just your last single was crap, and it's not like, you know, living in LA where everyone's high. Your new album, it meant so much to me. I say, but it's not out yet. I know, but it will. I know. You know that thing? We don't get that here. I wish we could get a bit of that here sometimes. Yeah. And
Pimp My Ireland, you can
have. Yes, Pimp My Ireland.
Give me some of that, Sheldon.
Nice one. Nice one. I love songs that you hear people singing when they're coming home on the train, or out of pubs, or, you know, walking down a lane at night, or windows open and you hear people singing songs. When rock and roll becomes folk music in a way, when it enters the language, that's a great moment. I hope some of our songs get, you know, mean that.
A lot of bands who's got a couple of albums under their belt seem to think that we make the music that we like, and if you don't like it, bugger off. You seem to have a bit of a more humble approach in terms of wanting to know what people think about it, just reading interview stuff. Do you think that's right?
I think we're always you know, listening to new music. We're fans of music. That's where we came into this thing. So we're always trying to listen to new music. We're not kind of always listening to the old stuff. And we're trying to make music that excites us. So I don't know. I mean, humble is one word, but it's also, we wouldn't be doing it unless we felt the songs were really great.
Anything great is almost impossible. And then it turns out that very good becomes the enemy of great, because you get, you know, you learn your craft and you get very good, but then you realize that's not why you got into a band. You didn't get into a band to be very good, to make very good music. Oh, well, here you are, William, let's play you our next song, it's very good. You know what I mean? You know, you got into a band because you heard The Clash and you heard, or The Beatles or something, and it made you want to just jump out the window and change the world or whatever. I had an interesting and complicated relationship with my father, but he, as I say, gave me this voice. He was a tenor. He loved opera. And, you know, working class Dublin man who'd listen to the opera and stand in front of the stereo conducting with my mother's knitting needles. And that's why in the song, and sometimes you can't make it on an essay, I know that we don't talk, but can you hear me when I sing and I hit that note? And when I hit that note, I feel him in me. The Irish people don't know, you know, how to deal with grief, I think, very well. My mother died when I was 14 and we never talked about her again. My father never talked about her. Can you imagine that? I mean, Italians, they're wearing black for like a year and then they have the black tie on for another year and, you know, it's all opera. And but Irish people don't know what to do with it. And I suppose, you know, I was surprised, you know, it's just be walking down the street. I mean, 6 months later, I thought I'd completely dealt with it perfectly. You'd be walking down the street and be tears just rolling down your face and you wouldn't know why. And then you'd realise. Or you'd go to pick up, make a phone call, and they're gone. I try to put into words what the band are doing musically. And so through improvisation at first, through scatting, and then writing down thoughts. And so then when I finally do get to the lyric, it really has come out of the music. So it's not, in fact, that we're very good at arranging melodies and lyrics, but actually that they are the same moment.
We call it building the house from the roof down.
Ah,
good to not to be recommended
for builders.
For builders. I think, you know, I mean, it's I don't know what it's like to be a lyricist, but what I do know is that when you you know, it's not about craft. It doesn't work like that. And I think, you know, when we were making the record, you know, Bono wasn't here the same amount that he's been on previous records. He was off doing the other things that he does. And initially there was concern that that was going to have an effect on the band and that it wouldn't be a good one. I mean, the opposite is the truth. When Bono wasn't here, the band worked in a very different way because Bono's impatient. He wants things to happen now, and sometimes, you know, we're not very good at doing that.
Thank you.
On a Friday night, you might.
I don't have a memory that you have of being absent.
You never do, Bono. You always have positive memories, and that's what makes you the man you are.
I really don't, but I accept that I wasn't here as much as I would like. But sometimes I do more damage when I'm here, is what I think Larry's saying.
Just
because everyone's got their own different kind of bit. I move my tempo. People think I'm hyperactive, but for me, everything else looks in slow motion. And I write quickly, and I write melodies, and I write quickly, and I like to improvise. Whereas, you know, Edge is more meditative, more considered, and strategic. And they're different routes to the same point.
It's never easy, is it, really? If it's easy, it's going to sound easy. And that's a sound we don't want to make.
It would be nice, though. Wouldn't it? The Edge? I mean, it would, but it's murder. Is the truth. It's murder.
You're trying to get somewhere that means something to you, you know? That's not going to just necessarily come out without a fight.
I mean, it's like, you know, you've to open a vein, haven't you? You know, you have to... If it's to get to the place, you know, you have to smash the rib cage and kind of, you know, rip out your own heart. It's a strange thing to do for a living, now that I think about it. You just can't sit down and write a song because you think you should. I mean, the great songs, they write you. They sing you, you know, they grab you and sort of throw you to the ground kind of thing. It's an amazing thing to be surprised by a song. You know, it's an incredible thing. And you're there one day here in Hanover Quay in Dublin, you can't play properly, nothing's going right, and suddenly this thing arrives and it's out of nowhere, didn't exist, and 6 months later it's on the radio in Tokyo, Birmingham, and, you know, Kansas. It is an amazing thing.
We think we got the best job in the world, you know, being in this band. And we think we've got the best fans in the world. And our attitude is, the deal, I suppose, we get the big fancy houses, the big cars, and a great life, as long as we don't make crap music, you know. And over the years, I think we've put so much energy and effort into just making sure that the records are good. And I think people, our fans, kind of recognise that, and we're... You know, I'm not saying we'll never fail them. I'm sure we have in the past, but we'll certainly give it everything we have, and I think they know that.
I don't want to sit beside the Edge. It's the modesty. It could be catching. I don't know what to do. Something in the back of your head is always thinking, well, is anyone interested? You never know when you put out an album. You know, you put on all the front, you've got a lot of attitude, you're telling people you're the best in the world, and you made the best album, but in the back of your head, something is going, maybe we're crap, maybe no one will be interested.